All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Wednesday, everybody, and Merry Christmas, everybody. Today is December 24th, Christmas Eve, 2025. Just a reminder, guys, market is open today, but it's a short day. Closes at 1 p.m. And our top story this morning, man, I just love it. $72 silver. We were just talking yesterday about the magnificence of $70 silver. We didn't even make a pit stop at 71. We're already at 72. Should we start talking about 73? I mean, we're going to be away for a few days. Should we get out ahead of this one? And hey, why not? Let's make it 75 while we're at it. Silver just seems to be rising just pretty much a dollar a day, $2 a day sometimes right now. When will it stop? Will it ever stop? I don't know. I've been talking for the last couple of days about how we're in uncharted territory here, guys. Trying to pick a price target here is a fool's errand. We indulged that a little bit yesterday. Apparently, some of my price targets, which I thought were pretty wild, were actually very conservative compared to a lot of the numbers that are being thrown around at other channels that I really enjoy. The consensus seems to be higher here. So let's talk a little bit about what we got overnight. We hit a high on the COMEX of 72.75. We were flirting with $73 last night. We're a couple of pennies into backwardation here, where spot silver in London is trading at a slight premium, only a penny or two, more than March silver futures on the COMEX in New York, which means silver right now is more expensive than silver 3 months from now elsewhere. That is indicative of supply shortages starting to come back. It's very slight. It's nothing like we saw in September and October yet. But if you look at what silver just settled at in Shanghai, what the Chinese are paying for silver right now, whoa, you think those $70, $72 numbers are wild here? Wait till you see what silver closed at in Shanghai yesterday. Prices are moving higher here, guys. That's going to cause metal to start flying across the world, capturing that arbitrage. So, it looks like for now, higher is the direction. Now, let me just throw a word of caution out there. Nothing goes up in a straight line forever. As always, be careful on leverage. But look, we've got the gold to silver ratio right now is around 62 and change. This is threatening the lows that we haven't seen since the silver squeeze, February 1st, 2021, a date which will live in infamy among many stackers. That's when the gold to silver ratio bottomed out at about 62.2. We were very briefly below that level today. We're heading there again. So we're kind of in uncharted territory for the value of silver, even relative to gold. We haven't been here since about 2014 was the last time the gold to silver ratio was any lower than this. Platinum along for the ride. Overnight, we hit a high of $2,394 for platinum. We just broke 2,000 like 2 days ago, and we're already pushing 2,400. We've pulled back from those highs since. But just wild moves in metals here, guys. Now, I did mention a cautionary tale. We've got this story out of the Ivory Coast this morning about one of the biggest cocoa traders in the Ivory Coast. Probably like cocoa, hot chocolate. Who cares about cocoa prices, Jack? Silver, $72. But remember, cocoa prices went vertical last year, and then they stopped. And now we got one of the biggest cocoa traders in the Ivory Coast, which is the biggest supplier of cocoa in the world, is shutting their doors. We don't know why. I'm pretty sure I know what happened here. We'll talk about that one. Again, be careful on leverage, guys. The other big story happening this morning, Intel stock is down on news that NVIDIA has halted testing of Intel's 18A chip manufacturing process. And that's a whole bunch of words. I don't know what they mean. But I know enough about this story to know what's going on here. Intel earlier this year announced they were making a $5 billion investment in Intel. I'm sorry, NVIDIA announced a $5 billion investment in Intel stock. This was shortly after the government took a stake in Intel. Remember, Trump stakes, it means two different things now. So all of this effort to build domestic chip manufacturing, Intel is going to be the next Taiwan Semiconductor. And look, I'm all about this effort. I'm behind it. We need to start making our own stuff here in this country. We need to remember how to build things. See also the entire discussion about shipbuilding yesterday. But you don't get there overnight, and you don't get there without running into some problems. And they're not saying why NVIDIA has pulled out of this test. They're not saying anything else about the $5 billion investment or any of the other stuff. They're not talking about any canceled plans for domestic chip manufacturing, just that this one process did not go well. Intel stock down a couple of percent on that news. We've also got student loan wage garnishment. Merry Christmas to some of the student loan borrowers. Starting in January, 1,000, not a lot, but 1,000 student loan borrowers will see their wages garnished. The government's just going to reach into your paycheck and yank. Oh, you haven't made your student loan payments in 5 years? You're defaulted on them? Guess what? We're taking your paycheck now. Only 1,000 people out of more than 5 million student loan borrowers in America who are in default. Let me just rephrase that because I feel like maybe some of you guys aren't taking the walk with me. 5 million people are in default on their student loans in the United States. And that number could rise to as much as 10 million next year. And so 1,000 people are going to see their wages garnished. This is a pilot program. They're just going to make sure it works. But I'm sure that population is going to grow and it's going to get worse. Now, look, guys, this is a COVID stimulus program, right? Starting in 2020, because people got sick, we're like, all right, nobody has to pay their bills anymore. And then, you know, while we're at it, we're going to have the government throw some extra subsidies into the Affordable Care Act and pay people's health insurance. This is one of the reasons why this economy of the last 5 years has been just freaking fake, because all of these COVID stimulus measures were still in place, even though the disease is now behind us. Thank God. I mean, yeah, people are still getting it and everything. I get it. But at least the mass formation psychosis is behind us. But we left these healthcare subsidies in place. We left the fact that nobody needs to pay their student loans in place. So all of these magnificent consumption numbers, like the government reported yesterday with their GDP numbers, they're fake because the government is paying people's student loans and people's healthcare costs. Not for much longer, which means there's a reality check. There is some much needed austerity heading our way. Now, I also realize it's kind of twisted that we're going to keep all these socialist corporate welfare programs in place, and then it's austerity for everybody else. That's BS, a totally different conversation, but one worth having. We should not be doing all these corporate welfare programs like the government trying to keep the AI bubble afloat. Why? I don't know, because we like to talk about the stock market in front of the White House press pool. I don't know. But what's happening with student loans? What's happening with the ACA subsidies? That's going to take a chunk out of consumer spending next year. You better believe it. And speaking of fake government data, there's a screenshot we got from my friend Kakashi from yesterday's release of the GDP numbers, a little footnote about the government shutdown in that GDP print we got yesterday. Yeah, the government maybe took some liberties with the data when they reported that magnificent GDP yesterday. That's interesting. A shocking turn of events, I know. And speaking of BS government data, we also got initial and continuing jobless claims this morning. We'll be talking about those. Instacart, oh, they're in trouble. They got caught using an AI to roll out what was essentially surge pricing at grocery stores, charging different people different prices for the same things. Yikes. AI making shopping so efficient. And oh, it's going to be this big era of increases in productivity and cure cancer. No, but it will make your grocery prices arbitrarily increase depending on the time and place you do your shopping. That's fun. What else we got going on? Honda is buying an EV plant from LG in Ohio. LG is taking a big loss on that one. More fallout from the EV bubble as that industry continues to attempt to find a bottom. We've got U.S. is sanctioning an EU government official. And the people in the EU this morning are all like clutching their pearls saying, oh, how dare you censor our censors? Yeah, well, we don't do that bullshit here in America. Sorry, guys. That's not how we roll. And pay close attention to a tanker called the Bella. We talked about this one earlier this week. The U.S. seized a couple of tankers in this ongoing blockade of Venezuela in an effort to topple the Maduro regime. There was one tanker that the U.S. Coast Guard said, stop your engines and prepare to be boarded. And the tanker said, no, we don't want to be boarded. And they didn't stop their engines. Well, the Coast Guard's been following that tanker for a couple of days. Now they're bringing more resources in to apparently seize the ship by force. Pay attention to that one, guys. That story like that has the potential to spiral out of control pretty quickly. We got a lot to talk about this morning on this short trading day. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance today. Don't forget that like button. And you new guys, hit that subscribe button right next to it because we typically do this one every day. Although this week is something different. Just a reminder, guys, this is the last live show for this week. We will be off tomorrow for Christmas and the day after Christmas, even though markets are open. It's just doing a show the day after Christmas has never really worked out well. So we will be back Monday as usual. And right now, the S&P 500 is just barely positive, 1.4 points in the green, up 0.02%. The Dow is also just barely positive, 6 points higher, 0.01% to the upside. And the NASDAQ is just barely positive as well, 7 points higher, 0.03%. Stocks are going a whole bunch of nowhere this morning. The DXY is pretty much unchanged here, a little bit higher by 4 basis points, 97.94 for the U.S. dollar. Looking over at the bond market, we've got a mixed bag for bonds this morning. The 30-year yield is at 4.818%. That is lower by 1% and change. The 10-year yield is at 4.158%, higher by a point, lower by a point and change. The 2-year yield, 3.532%. That is higher by almost half a point. And the 1-month is at 3.621%. That is lower by a fraction of a point. Not a lot happening in bonds either. Looking over at Bitcoin, we're at 87,339, essentially right where we were yesterday as Bitcoin continues to consolidate in the high 80s, low 90s before what I believe will be a move lower. And looking at the commodities board, that's where the fireworks are once again this morning, albeit a little bit subdued versus recent days. We've got gold is just off its high, spot gold $4,486. That's up by about $1.73 here, 0.04% higher. February COMEX gold futures at 45.14. That's higher by $9 or 0.2% to the upside. Intraday gold hit a high of 45.5490 on the COMEX. And then we've got silver, my favorite of the shiny, 71.92 as of the making of this stream. Overnight, spot silver hit a high of 72.70, but currently up 42 cents or 0.6% higher. Also worth noting, March COMEX silver futures 71.93, up 79 cents or 1.1%. We hit a high overnight of 72.75, almost $73. And also worth pointing out, okay, we are not in backwardation right now. We've got 3 cents of contango. The COMEX price for March is at 71.92. That's a couple of pennies higher than the London price here. But you will note that the intraday highs, we went as much as a nickel into backwardation overnight with the COMEX price in New York 5 cents higher than the London spot price. Again, indicative of supply shortages developing in London. Again, still not as bad as we saw earlier in the fall. Copper is higher again, setting another record here by 4 cents, 0.87% higher. Platinum just ripping here, 0.83% higher, up another $20, $2,307 for platinum. Overnight hitting a high of $2,394.75. Absolute monster run for platinum here. Palladium is the one exception here. We got some red in palladium, down 3.4%, trading at $1,888, although we did hit a high of $2,059 overnight. And rounding out the commodities board, we've got crude oil is higher by 18 cents or 0.31%, $58.56 a barrel for February WTI futures. All right, we were going to talk about these Chinese prices. Look at this one. Shout out to Bai Xiaojun at Oriental Ghost on X who posted this one. And look, there's a lot going on in this chart, but it's this top line I want to draw your attention to. They take the price of silver in China at the close and they convert it to U.S. dollars per troy ounce. And look at what silver closed at in Shanghai last night. $78.49. As wicked as these prices in silver are here in the U.S., I mean, $72 right thereabouts. We've got almost $6.50 of arbitrage opportunity over in China. That's going to get metal movement, guys. That's going to get silver onto planes heading for China here. Massive premium in Shanghai for silver prices here. You better believe that's going to exert some upward pressure on those London and New York prices here. Just wild here to see this. Yeah, I don't know what's driving the big difference in China here. I'm sure some of my BRICS guys are going to weigh in. I'm sure there's going to be some tinfoil hat theories about de-dollarization and everything going on. And hey, on any given day, I can get down with those. But for now, the price is just going higher. And what we're looking at here is the gold to silver ratio, the number of ounces of silver it takes to make 1 ounce of gold. We are currently at 62.4. We are at levels we have not seen since February 1st of 2021 when we hit a low of 62.2. So we are right at silver squeeze levels in the value of silver relative to gold. The last time we were here, things didn't go so well for silver. I'm just saying. Now, before that, you got to go all the way back to what, like 2014, I think. Yeah, June of 2014, August of 2014 was the last time we saw the gold to silver ratio this low, with the exception of the silver squeeze here. So again, guys, you know, it's been crazy to watch. Are we done here? I don't know. Can we go higher? The China prices suggest we can go higher. But look, I want to give a little bit of caution here on this move in silver prices. Take a look at what happened with cocoa. This one in Bloomberg this morning, crop trader, I'm sure I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Sukten shuts cocoa buying center in the Ivory Coast port. French crop traders, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that, a major cocoa buyer, has closed its operations in the Ivory Coast port of San Pedro. That's according to sources familiar with the matter. Ivory Coast is the world's top grower of the crop, and many cocoa traders have operations in San Pedro, which is close to the key growing regions. Sukten has operations both there and in Abidjan, probably saying that wrong, the commercial hub from which it can produce and purchase cocoa beans and sell them abroad. The closure of the San Pedro Center comes at the peak of the West African nation's main harvest, said Thomas Roche, the managing director of the company's Ivorian unit. He declined to comment. Sukten's headquarters in Paris didn't respond to phone calls and an email seeking comment. It wasn't immediately clear why the center is being closed, but Ivory Coast cocoa farmers and exporters have faced a turbulent start to the season. International prices, which surged to an all-time high a year ago, have halved in 2025 as harvests improve and consumers cut back on expensive chocolate. That caused ports in the nation to become clogged with truckloads of cocoa in recent weeks as middlemen rushed to find buyers amid the downturn. The government also recently permitted the cocoa industry regulator to buy about 200,000 tons of the beans from farmers, a rare move, as local exporters were left saddled with losses. Amid the volatility in the market, Sukten's head of cocoa left the commodities trader earlier this year. Maurice Versano, son of the company's CEO, was later named head of the Paris cocoa unit. Oh, nepotism, that always ends well. So look, prices like quadrupled in 2024 for cocoa. Everybody was making money hand over fist. And then prices get cut in half this year, still higher than they started. And all of a sudden, one of the biggest traders just shuts down operations. Look at this price chart, guys. And this is a lesson here, a cautionary tale about leverage. Now, I don't know exactly what happened with this cocoa trader, but I can make a guess. I can guess these guys levered up because prices were going vertical and they thought prices would go vertical forever. And they didn't. They came back down and they're like, oh, we're so back, Mortimer. Prices went even higher in January. And then look at what they've done since. And when you go out on leverage and the price doesn't do what you think it was going to do, you get wiped out. So be careful. Enjoy this run in silver. I'm loving it. You should love it too. But just be careful, guys. Don't go YOLOing into levered options thinking this is going to happen forever, right? When things take the elevator up, they often take the elevator right back down. I don't know when that's going to happen and at what price level. I don't know where it's going to settle at. But it could happen any day here. Nobody really knows where we go from here. So just be careful. Also, we got to talk about platinum here. Platinum soars to record above $2,300 on tight global supplies. Platinum soared to an all-time high, trading above $2,300 an ounce for the first time on tight supplies and historically elevated borrowing costs. That's an understatement. We almost touched $2,400 last night. The metal rose for a 10th straight session, its longest winning streak since 2017, and has advanced more than 150% this year, the biggest annual gain since Bloomberg began compiling data in 1987. The recent surge has come as the London market shows signs of tightening, with banks parking metal in the U.S. to insure against the risk of tariffs. Used in the automotive and jewelry sectors, platinum has been caught up in a wave of investment that poured into precious metals this year. Gold and silver have also risen to records. More than 600,000 ounces of platinum are sitting in U.S. warehouses, an amount much higher than usual, as traders await the outcome of Washington's Section 232 probe, which could lead to tariffs or trade restrictions on the metal. Meanwhile, shipments to China have been robust this year, and demand optimism has been bolstered as contracts recently began trading on the Guangzhou Futures Exchange. Prices in Guangzhou have risen well above their international benchmarks. See also the arbitrage opportunity with silver and the big premium that's trading at in China. Platinum is on course for a third annual deficit this year due to supply disruptions in major producer South Africa. High borrowing costs have also been an issue for manufacturers that use the metal to produce goods ranging from chemicals to glass to laboratory equipment. Industrial users often choose the less capital-intensive option of leasing rather than buying the commodity outright. So platinum absolutely ripping here along with everything else. Once again, shout out to Bob Coleman at Profits Plus ID on Twitter. He's the CEO of Idaho Armored Vaults. He's been a regular guest on this channel. And back in May of this year, Bob called this rip in platinum, and it has more than doubled since then. All right, let's shift gears a little bit to the AI bubble and Intel. Intel share slide after report that NVIDIA halts testing of 18A process. Intel Corporation stock dropped 2.7% in pre-market trading as Reuters reported that NVIDIA stopped testing Intel's 18A chip manufacturing process. Accordingly, NVIDIA has been evaluating whether it could manufacture its chips using Intel's advanced 18A production technology, but decided not to move forward with the tests. No reason given here. An Intel spokesperson told Reuters that the company's 18A manufacturing technologies are progressing well without providing further details about NVIDIA's decision to halt testing. The news comes just months after the two semiconductor giants announced a major collaboration in September. Under that agreement, Intel would develop custom x86 CPUs for NVIDIA's AI infrastructure platforms, while also creating x86 system on chips, integrating NVIDIA's RTX GPU chiplets for personal computing devices. As part of the partnership, NVIDIA had committed to investing $5 billion in Intel's common stock at a purchase price of $23.28 per share, subject to regulatory approvals. The reported testing halt raises questions about the technical viability of Intel's advanced manufacturing process, which the company has positioned as crucial to its turnaround strategy and efforts to compete with Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company in the foundry business. So we're throwing some cold water on Intel's chip fab plans this morning. NVIDIA has pulled out of this testing. We don't know anything else about it, just that NVIDIA is pulled out. The stock is now down 3.44%, trading at $35.10. Not a good morning, but let's put that in perspective, guys. Intel is still up 81.3% year to date. So it's not the end of the world for Intel here, but certainly a setback in their chip fab ambitions. Meanwhile, Trump administration to start seizing pay of defaulted student loan borrowers in January. Oh, you mean that loan we took out? We have to pay it back? That's not fair. No, that's how loans work, guys. You make payments on them. The Trump administration will start garnishing the wages of student loan borrowers in default in early January, a spokesperson for the U.S. Department of Education confirmed to CNBC on Tuesday. It will be the first time a portion of borrowers' paychecks have been at risk since the beginning of the COVID pandemic, when collection activity was halted. Starting the week of January 7th, the Education Department expects around 1,000 defaulted student loan borrowers to receive notices of administrative wage garnishment, the spokesperson said. After that, the number of notified borrowers will continue to increase. The Education Department can seize up to 15% of a student loan holder's after-tax income to put toward their debt. By law, borrowers must be left with at least 30 times the federal minimum wage, which is $7.25 an hour, so 30 times that a week, which is $217.50, said the higher education expert Mark Kantrowitz. Student loan holders have been under pressure from a weakening labor market, a barrage of changes to the lending system, and recent trouble accessing relief programs. More than 5 million student loan borrowers are currently in default. And that total could swell to roughly 10 million borrowers soon, the Education Department said earlier this year. So only 1,000 people here are going to be garnished, see their wages yanked by Uncle Sam out of 5 million who are in default. So, you know, look, this is going to be a trickle initially, but they're saying they're going to increase it And the number of defaulting borrowers could double, they're saying here. Look, guys, long story short, you got to pay your bills. You got to pay your loans back. And for the last five, almost 6 years, nobody's had to make any payments and there haven't been any consequences for missing payments. That's over now. We can't keep faking the economy by having the money people owe and all these costs that are admittedly higher than they used to be. I'm not saying life isn't hard, but the government can't pay for everything. The government is the reason why everything keeps getting more expensive because of the inflation that they're causing. So we have to stop this stuff. That starts the first week of January. And by the way, speaking of the government and how just unbearably full of shit they are, we got this little footnote. Shout out to Kakashi on X, who spotted this one in yesterday's GDP report from the Bureau of Economic Analysis. A lapse in federal government appropriations. Remember yesterday, the GDP growth, those numbers were amazing. They defied expectations. They were much higher than anybody realized. But when you read the fine print, the federal government shutdown that occurred in October and November resulted in delays in many of the principal source data that are used to produce estimates of GDP. In other words, they just made a lot of the shit up. The initial estimate of GDP for the third quarter of 25 reflects a combination of data and methods that are typically used for the advance and second quarterly estimates. In other words, we changed the methodology because of the shutdown, and then magically, the numbers just get better. Isn't it amazing how that works? And speaking of government statistics that are made by the Department of Arbitrary Numbers, we've got initial jobless claims. They dropped for the week ended December 20th to 214,000. That is down from 224,000. So fewer people getting laid off a week before Christmas. I guess I can believe that. That's not so wild. Continuing claims continue to rise. However, 1.92 million, that is up from 1.89 million the prior week and way up from the absurdly low 1.83 million we got at the end of November, which again, government shutdown. I think that number was just faked. Guys, these numbers, they're just, you can't rely on them anymore. There's just too much government fingers on the scale here. Nobody really knows what this data is. The CPI, the GDP, the non-farm payrolls, the initial and continuing claims. We just don't know how bad things are, but they tell us they're great. So I guess you can believe the government, can't you? Meanwhile, Instacart ends AI-driven pricing tests that push up costs for some shoppers. All right, chatbots inflicting surge pricing on supermarkets. Who had that on their 2020s bingo? Instacart said Monday it will cease use of artificial intelligence-driven pricing tests on its grocery delivery platform after the practice was scrutinized in a wide-ranging study and rebuked by lawmakers. The company said in a blog post that retailers will no longer be able to use its Eversight technology to run pricing experiments on its platform, effective immediately. We understand that the test we ran with a small number of retail partners that resulted in different prices for the same item at the same store missed the mark for some customers. You think that might piss people off if you found out you were charged twice as much for orange juice as your neighbor? Yeah, maybe that I can see how that might upset some people. At a time when families are working exceptionally hard to stretch every grocery dollar, those tests raised concerns. In other words, they pissed people off, leaving some people questioning the prices they see on Instacart. That's not okay, especially for a company built on trust, transparency, and affordability. Wow, let's squeeze a few more buzzwords that tested well in focus groups into that statement while we're at it. Instacart acquired Eversight for $59 million in 2022, and Eversight software allows retailers to carry out pricing tests, in other words, surge pricing, to gauge shoppers' reactions to higher or lower prices on certain items. Earlier this month, a study by Consumer Reports and other organizations found that Instacart's algorithmic pricing tools cause shoppers to pay different prices for identical items from the same store. The total cost for the same basket of goods at a single store varied by about 7%, which can result in more than $1,000 in extra annual costs for customers. Instacart responded by saying the retailers determine prices listed on the app. The company also rejected characterizations of the technology as surveillance pricing or dynamic pricing and said the tests were never based on personal demographic or individual level user data. Reuters reported last week that the FTC had sent a civil investigative demand to Instacart about its pricing practices. AI making life better for everybody, isn't it? Gotta love it. More expensive groceries, thanks to the chatbots on Instacart. Meanwhile, Honda to buy LG battery assets in Ohio for $2.9 billion. We've got more battery factory drama here, and LG taking a big loss on this one. Honda Motor will buy out LG Energy Solutions facilities and other assets from their joint battery plant in Ohio for about 4.2 trillion won. That's about $2.9 billion. As America's pullback in electric vehicles continues to ripple across the industry supply chain, the sale to a Honda unit in the U.S. is scheduled to be finalized by the end of February, Seoul-based LG said in a regulatory filing on Wednesday. They said the move would improve operational efficiency. In other words, they're losing money on it. With the transition toward EVs outside of China unraveling, the outlook for South Korea's battery makers is deteriorating. Ford recently rolled back its EV ambitions, scrapping a 9.6 trillion won battery agreement with LG and breaking up a U.S. venture with Korea's SK Innovation in the process, something we covered on our on this channel about 2 weeks ago, I think. Honda and LG Energy announced a $4.4 billion investment plan in 2022 to build EV batteries in Ohio, with mass production slated to start at the end of 2025. So that $4.4 billion plant is now being sold for $2.9 billion. Kathy Wood and the EV bubble strikes again. A lot of money went up in smoke in that EV bubble. Hey, I'm sure the data center bubble is going to work out great. Meanwhile, U.S. sanctions former EU official and four others in a swipe at Europe. This is interesting news here. The Trump administration on Tuesday imposed visa sanctions on former European Commissioner Thierry Breton and four other people for trying to make American tech companies police political speech on their platforms. For far too long, ideologues in Europe have led organized efforts to coerce American platforms to punish American viewpoints they oppose, Secretary of State Marco Rubio said in a post on X social media platform. The Trump administration will no longer tolerate these egregious acts of extraterritorial censorship. Rubio added that U.S. officials stand ready and willing to expand the list if others do not reverse course. Besides Breton, the State Department also targeted activists and nonprofits focused on digital hate speech and countering extremism. That includes Imran Ahmed and the Center for Countering Digital Hate and the UK-based Global Disinformation Index's Claire Melford, as well as Anna Lena von Hodenberg and Josephine Ballen of Germany's Hate Aid, which flags far-right hate speech online. Again, everything we don't like, we just label extremist or hate speech. That way it becomes easier to censor. The Global Disinformation Index, in a statement, called the sanctions an authoritarian attack on free speech and an egregious act of government censorship. Clutch pearls, how dare you censor my censors? Yes, the Ministry of Truth calls this an attack on free speech, accusing the Trump administration of using its power to intimidate, censor, and silence voices they disagree with. Look, guys, running your mouth and behaving like an ignorant a-hole, should you decide to, is every American's God-given right. European technocrats don't get a say in this matter. And that's what it comes down to. I'm not advocating for everything that's said on X. There's plenty of stupid stuff said on X all the time. See also Jim Cramer's feed. But I'm not saying Jim Cramer should be banned from X because I don't like him. All right? That's how we do things here in America. Oh, by the way, here in America, we also steal boats. The whole piracy thing. We do that too. Exclusive. USI's additional Coast Guard assets to seize fleeing tanker. Keep an eye on this one, guys. This could turn into an international CF if we are not careful here. The U.S. Coast Guard is waiting for additional forces to arrive before potentially attempting to board and seize a Venezuela-linked oil tanker it has been pursuing since Sunday, a U.S. official and source familiar with the matter told Reuters. The ship, which maritime groups have identified as the Bella One, has refused to be boarded by the Coast Guard. That means that the task will likely fall to one of just two teams of specialists known as maritime security response teams, who can board vessels under these circumstances. In other words, maneuvering ships that refuse to stop. That is a very dangerous operation, trying to rappel from a helicopter onto a boat that doesn't want you there, including rappelling from helicopters. The days-long pursuit highlights the mismatch between the Trump administration's desire to seize sanctioned oil tankers near Venezuela and the limited resources of the agency that is mainly carrying out operations, the Coast Guard. There are limited teams who are trained for these types of boarding, said Corey Ranslam, chief executive of maritime security group Dryad Global, previously with the U.S. Coast Guard. The Department of Homeland Security did not immediately respond to a request for comment, and Reuters could not determine what, if any, other reasons have led to the Coast Guard not seizing the vessel yet. The administration could ultimately choose to not board and seize the vessel. The White House said that the United States was still in active pursuit of a sanctioned dark fleet vessel that is part of Venezuela's illegal sanctions evasion. Pay attention to this one, guys. Don't know what's going to come out of this one or not, if anything. But again, when you start messing with the boats, things have a funny habit of going south in a hurry. And oh, what did I do? I hit something here that, oh man, what happened here? Okay, let's fix that. I just want to say thank you very much to, man, what did I do? I messed something up here big time. Oh, I can't see what I'm doing now. Give me a second here, guys. I hit a button. Okay, that's better. Thank you very much to Nashville Pasta Man, who says final stage of dollar collapse. Uh-oh. I think we're gonna need some tinfoil for this one. But we have a special version of the tinfoil for today, being the holiday festivities and all. Thank you very much, Pasta Man, for supporting the channel. Tinfoil at the ready. Final stages of dollar collapse. Central banks start printing paper currency to buy gold and silver. South Korea now printing won to buy dollars. As we debase the dollar, the Koreans are further debasing the won just to let the won keep up with the itself debasing dollar. Yeah, that's crazy. And, you know, I got to send a shout out to Brett Johnson here. You got a little bit of the whole cleanest dirty shirt thing going on with the dollar. Yup, it's debasing. See, also gold, silver, platinum, and everything going up in value relative to it. But the other currencies are even worse. Final stages of dollar collapse. You know, look, it's hard to look at silver more than doubling in a year, gold doubling in a year, platinum nearly tripling in a year. It's hard to look at this and say the dollar's not collapsing. That being said, the dollar as the world reserve and the settlement of choice or the means of settlement of choice for trade, that's not going away. The world still has no choice but to deal in dollars. You better own some gold here. Hey, have I mentioned I like the shiny? Look, Pasta Man, I agree with you here. You got to be in this. You have to. The dollar's going away and the rest of the world is trying to keep up with it. It's crazy. And I don't think it's going to reverse anytime soon. I do think it's going to continue. The one thing, if we do get a sudden onset deflationary bust, gold and silver will sell off along with everything else. It could very well happen. Now, the inevitable response to that deflationary bust is going to be more money printing, zirp and burr, which would mean gold and silver will rocket from there. But you may get a look at gold and silver at a lower price at some point if that were to happen. Thank you, Pasta Man, for everything you do for the channel. Merry Christmas, sir. 4P's says, Merry Christmas, Jack. Top 3F 2020's bingo card. Jack's top three for 2026 bingo card. All right, top three. Let's see. Number one 2020's bingo card, AI bubble goes burst. In my opinion, it's already started. People are just starting to realize it. Number two 2020's bingo for 2026. Japan and the yen carry trade, the unwind of the yen carry trade, those Japanese borrowing costs going higher. That is my number two. And number three, let's see, what would be number three? Let's say a reboot of Star Wars directed by Kathleen Kennedy, starring a strong female lead as Luke Skywalker. How's that? Let's get a little funky with number three. About as sharp as wet leather this morning, guys. But yeah, those are my 2026 bingo updates. You never know what Disney's going to do to Star Wars. Just leave it alone, guys. Leave it alone. Leave my childhood intact, please. Hey, my buddy Travis from Real Estate Mindset, you bonkers SOB, you. Merry Christmas, brother. He says, should I buy silver on my credit card, then go bankrupt? No, you should not buy silver on your credit card. When you buy silver on your credit card, number one, the dealers charge you more money for your silver. Number two, you're paying 25, 30, who knows what percent interest on your credit card on that debt. Do not buy the shiny on the credit card. I like the shiny, but I don't like it that much. No, sir, I do not. Thank you, Travis. I appreciate that. No, do not load up your credit cards and then go bankrupt. Enough of that. Enough of that silly other people's money stuff. I see where you're going with that. And I get, you know, hey, if it works for private credit, why can't it work for me? Just don't do that. It's a bad idea. Merry Christmas, brother. Thank you for supporting the channel. Merry Christmas to Nacho Man, who gifted, whoa, 50. 50. William Wallace killed 50 men as if they were one. Nacho Man, 50 new melon heads in the melon patch. Thank you so much, Nacho Man, for everything you do for the channel. You have been very generous lately. I appreciate that very much. And it looks like he finally discovered how to gift a membership now. That's pretty cool, where it's a personal growth story. Thank you so much, Nacho Man. Welcome, you 50 new melon heads to the melon patch. Just a reminder, guys, when you're a member, you get one free super chat a month. Use that. I will read and respond live on the air to your questions, comments, concerns, ridicule, and constructive criticisms. Thank you very much, Nacho Man. Merry Christmas, sir. Hunt and Cover, thank you, sir, for the generosity. Merry Christmas. He says, here's your Christmas tip. Don't take any wooden Bitcoin. Okay. No, I won't take any wooden Bitcoin. But on that subject of not taking Bitcoin and where you shouldn't take Bitcoin and how you shouldn't take it, did anybody see that Do Kwon x-ray picture? I posted it on X yesterday. Yeah, Do Kwon was smuggling Bitcoin in his prison wallet at the airport, and he got caught with that one. Yikes. Yeah, definitely don't take any wooden Bitcoin, Hunt and Cover. If you see that post on X, maybe you'll get it. But thank you, sir. Merry Christmas. That's good advice. Steve Canyon. Thank you, Steve, for supporting the channel. Appreciate it. He says, Merry Christmas, Jack. Thanks for all you do. Merry Christmas, Steve. You are most welcome, sir. I really appreciate that. Thank you for the Christmas joy. Mr. BTB, thank you, sir, as well. Merry Christmas. He says, here's to you, Jack. Love the daily info. I'm glad you like it. I enjoy giving it as much as you enjoy getting it. I love this. I love doing this job. It's fun, man. I haven't worked a day since I started doing this. Thank you, BTB. Merry Christmas, sir. Armando Reyes, what's going on, Armando? Says, I heard that people on the dark store, BM, are buying silver at 80 and higher. I'm not sure what the dark store is, BM, the black market. Okay, on the dark web, probably. Buying at 80 bucks and higher. Well, look, on any given day, I'd probably just like look at that and say, no, why would anybody pay 80 bucks when you can buy it for 72 on the COMEX? But you know what? Then I look at what Bai Jiajun posted, Oriental Ghost on X, showing that 78 and change settlement price in China. And suddenly that $80 number doesn't look so wild there, Armando. So I'm going to give that one a strong maybe. I did not hear that same information, but if they're paying 78 on the Shanghai exchange, another $2, sure, why not? Man, these prices are crazy, aren't they? Thank you so much, Armando. Merry Christmas, sir, to you and yours. Pasta Man is back again. Central banks were not printing money to buy cocoa. Nope, they weren't printing money to buy cocoa. That's a good point. So throwing a little bit of cold water on the whole cocoa as a cautionary tale. But the government was, let's double check that. Maybe it's not central banks. Re-shrinking my head, Pasta Man. Hold on, we got to go back to that article because you're right. Technically, the government wasn't printing, but in this article, we did see that the government also recently permitted the cocoa industry regulator to buy 200,000 tons of beans from farmers, a rare move as local exporters were left saddled with losses. So the government permitted the regulators to buy 200,000 tons of beans. Where did the government get that money in the Ivory Coast? I'm going to go ahead and go out on a wild limb and say maybe they printed some of that. So while I get what you're saying there, Pasta Man, you're right. Technically, central banks around the world aren't printing money to buy cocoa. In at least one country, something very similar was happening. Very similar, not exactly the same. That being said, there is no monetary demand for cocoa. Cocoa is a consumable commodity where, well, silver can be somewhat consumable as well. But that being said, yeah, I get what you're saying there. So I will cede you the point, or I'll give you half a point on that one. No monetary demand for cocoa. Thank you so much, Pasta Man, for supporting the channel. Merry Christmas to you and the family. Lear C. You know him, says, Merry Christmas, Jack, Gigi, fam, and all melon heads. The same to you, sir. I really appreciate the well wishes as well. Thank you for being a Melonhead member for 22 months, a seasoned veteran of the Melon Patch, nearly 2 years, probably one of the originals there. Steve Woitis, thank you, sir, for the Baby Melons. We've got 10 new Nobody Special Finance memberships. Welcome, Baby Melons. Be sure to say thank you to Steve and Nacho Man, who gifted those memberships. Thank you so much, Steve. Merry Christmas to you and yours, sir. Justin, Jack's going to try to pronounce it. Justin Evans GSM to SWA. Justin, if you're in a hurry. Thank you, Justin. Says Merry Christmas to all Melonheads and Silver Stackers. Yeah, Merry Christmas to the Melonheads. Merry Christmas to the Stackers. Boy, I tell you, after 20 years of being broke AF, buying silver with every dollar left at the end of the month, Stackers got to be riding high at 72 here, huh? Congratulations, guys. You've earned it. You have been patient. You have been rewarded. And along those notes, let me just mention at noon today, Eastern time, I have got a collaboration with Jesse Day from Commodity Culture coming out where we're talking about silver, among other things. So look for that one around lunchtime. Shout out to Jesse. Thank you, brother, for having me on. And check out Commodity Culture while you're at it. Thank you, Justin, for supporting the channel. Merry Christmas, sir. M&J, another 50. Wow. Over 100 new melon heads today. Thank you so much, M&J, for everything you do to the for the channel. Merry Christmas to you and the family as well. Welcome to you, 50 new melon heads. Be sure and say thank you, guys. M&J, thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you. Madison Hypes, does Yellen wish viewers a Merry Christmas? Secretary Yellen, how do you feel about that? Well, Jack, normally I don't engage in any kind of denominational holiday wishes because I come from the other side of the fence where somehow, through some twisted logic, it was deemed offensive to say Merry Christmas to somebody. But you know what? I'm feeling froggy today, and since I'm out collecting my speaking fees and I no longer work for that woke mob, I'm just going to go ahead and say Merry Christmas. I wish you all a strong and resilient Christmas holiday. Well, thank you very much, Secretary Yellen, for breaking with your typical tact to wish a Merry Christmas to the Melonheads. So there you go, Madison. You got your answer. Yes, she does wish the Melonheads a very Merry Christmas. We get honesty from Secretary Yellen here that you just don't get anywhere else. That is a channel exclusive. Thank you very much, Madison. Ryu, what's going on, brother? He says Merry Christmas, everyone. A very Merry Christmas to you as well, sir. You merry Melonheads, you. I love all of this. Thank you so much, guys. You guys are awesome. Thank you for being a Melonhead member for 5 months and supporting the channel. M&J, she's back again, wishing all the Melon Patch a blessed and beautiful Christmas holiday. Thank you for being the bestest community ever. I'm Jack Gamble, and I approve this message. I agree very much. You guys rock. Thank you, guys, morning in, morning out, for being here, for all the wonderful wishes in the chat. Thank you for the Christmas wishes. Everybody be safe and have a wonderful holiday. Thank you so much, M&J, for everything. Ryu is back again, says if people don't pay their student loans, then they at least it means I don't have to pay my taxes. Okay. I broke up a little bit there, but yeah, if people don't have to pay their loans, then I guess I don't have to pay my taxes, right? Well, no, the guys with the guns, they say otherwise. I'm pay your taxes, all right? Taxation is theft and it sucks, but bad things happen when you don't. So how about everybody just pay their bills? What a concept, right? If you use it or if you bought it, you pay for it. Amazing, isn't it? Oh, that's right. You know, private equity just buy things with other people's money, never pays the debt, pays themselves hundreds of millions of dividends, walks away, leaving factories in ruins, jobs destroyed, lives destroyed, marriages destroyed, towns left in the lurch. And yeah, they walk off with their hundreds of millions. The kleptocracy. Everybody pay for what you use. What a freaking concept. Thank you very much, Ryu. Appreciate the super chat, sir. Merry Christmas to you. Exton Man. All right, Exton Man. Thank you, sir, for supporting the channel. Appreciate that. He says, can't watch to the end of the show. Got to clean up the snow. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, Jack, and all the melon heads. Be careful shoveling snow. Pace yourself, sir. And, you know, I hate to be a Grinch, but I prefer rain these days because my back never hurts after a rainstorm. But, yeah, be careful. Thank you so much. Appreciate the good vibe, sir. Exton Man, thank you so much. And Dan Hedin. Hey, Dan, what's going on, brother? He says, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, Jack and the Melonheads. Go, medals, go. Best Christmas present ever. All I want for Christmas is $75 silver. If only I could whittle. Yep. Thank you very much, Dan. Appreciate everything you do for the channel. And Merry Christmas to you and yours, sir. KDM says, add this to the high-yield tinfoil miners fund. SNMY. That's one I'm not familiar with. What is SNMY? I'm going to look at that one real quick. It sounds like an ETF. SNMY? Nope. Doesn't pop up on Yahoo Finance. Let's check TradingView real quick. Is this an acronym? Like, am I missing something sarcastic here? SNMY. Nope, nothing comes up here. All right, but I'm adding it to the high yield tinfoil miners fund. Thank you very much, KDM. Appreciate the super chat. Or is that the new ticker for the Melonhead high yield fund? Sure, why not? Well, maybe I'll launch an ETF. It works for other guys. Thank you so much, KDM, for supporting the channel. Armando's back again. He says the government knows that the party is over. Best thing to do is go out with a bang, escalate and accelerate everything. Well, I don't know if the party's over. They'll try to extend it, but I can tell you escalate and accelerate. Yeah, that matches what we're seeing. Abso-freaking-lutely. The faking of government data. I mean, we're getting the stuff they've done now with the CPI, the non-farm payrolls, and the GDP data. We're pushing Banana Republic territory here with what they're doing with the statistics. All right. Lying about the statistics to make the people in power look better. That is just flat on its face un-American. I think the last guy did it. I think this guy is doing it worse, and it needs to stop. Thank you very much, Armando, for supporting the channel. Merry Christmas, sir. Blaine Cole. What's going on, Blaine? He says, on 28 October, I called a bottom on JPY USD. Still holding. Also, I think I just solved division by zero. Cryptocurrency bought with fiat currency. All right. Dividing by zero. I see what you did there. October 28th. Was that the bottom in USD JPY? Let me bring up the chart real quick. USD JPY. I'm just going to double check your math here, brother. Not that I don't trust you. All right, USD JPY, when did it bottom? It bottomed October 28th, huh? Wasn't the bottom. It wasn't the bottom on USD JPY. The chart continued to move higher, but this chart moving higher, that is the yen further weakening. So we have seen the yen continue to weaken, 155.77 right now. Look, all things aside about the call and when it happened, I do think what's happening in Japan right now is something to watch. It's going to be a big deal in 2026, especially when the AI bubble unwinds. Pay attention to like what Masa-san is going to have to do between now and the end of the year to meet his commitments to OpenAI, something he still hasn't had to do. A lot of Japanese banks are highly levered. A lot of the assets in the U.S. have been bought with borrowed money. A lot of these data centers have been built with borrowed money, and a lot of that money was borrowed in Japan. And so if we do get a continuing rise in the Japanese long-term borrowing costs, it could trigger that unwind, could lead to forced asset sales, and could blow up this AI bubble. So, you know, I'm going to throw the yen carry trade in the earlier comment about the 2020s bingo thing. That's one to keep an eye on. Thank you very much, Blaine, for supporting the channel. Man, I can't keep up with you guys today. Douglas Hayen, he says, thank you for keeping us informed. You are most welcome, Douglas. It is my distinct honor and privilege to do so. And thank you so much for supporting the channel. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Eagles on Atmex, $82 per the pasta, man. Holy shnikes. Let's do a real quick findbullionprices.com. The cheapest American Silver Eagle random year right now is bullion standard at $75.61. That's $4.55 above spot. So I have noticed the premiums on Silver Eagles. A week ago, they were down around $2 and change. Now at the cheapest, they're $4.50. And they did get over $5 very briefly there. So we're starting to see some premiums rise a little bit here off of astronomical lows, but they are starting to rise a little bit. And I've heard some anecdata from some coin shop owners that at 70, the buyers showed up, which is crazy. They didn't want to buy at 50. They didn't want to buy at 60. At 70, they're a buyer. Maybe that's a sign of capitulation. Maybe not. But interesting data point there. Thank you so much, Pasta Man. Merry Christmas, sir. Jim Watari, been a Melonhead member for 22 months. OG Melonhead. Thank you so much, Jim. Merry Christmas to you and yours as well, sir. Thank you for supporting the channel. Ryu's back again, says, remember when I said Thoughtful Money had a guy on that said silver would go to 100? Looks like I'll hit that. Also, I can bench press 335 pounds now. Well, congratulations on the 335 bench. Remind me to stay on your good side. My bench is slightly lower than that, slightly. Look, $100 of silver, I think it was by the end of the year, if I remember that correctly, which let's rule that out for now. We still have 7 days left this year, so who knows? Silver will hit 100 at some point. It's just a matter of when. Will it hit $100 in 2026? I honestly don't know. I really don't know if we go to 100 to 120 in next year. We're certainly on pace to hit it early next year. I just can't see this pace continuing forever. I'm having a hard time believing it. Just be careful, guys. Be careful on leverage. Enjoy this run up, but, you know, shields up. That's all I'll say. Thank you very much, Ryu, for supporting the channel. Dan Hedin says, Merry PM to all and to all a full safe. I see what you did there. Yes, I like the shiny silver bells on repeat in the Gamble House for the next couple of days. Absolutely. Thank you, Dan, for being a Melonhead for 22 months. James Richter says 75 plus on Friday. See you then. All right, we'll see if we get there, James. By the way, we will not be running a show until Monday. At the current pace, we'll be 75 by Monday, barring a sell-off. So I look forward to a $75 silver headline for the Monday live stream. Just a reminder, guys, no show on Friday. And thank you, James, for supporting the channel. VSVS versus versus says, Merry Christmas, Jack. Thanks for keeping up with the shinies. It is my distinct honor and pleasure to do so. Versus, thank you very much. You're so adversarial there, versus versus. It is really my pleasure. Thank you for supporting the channel. I appreciate that. And we made it through. We made it through the Christmas Eve Super Chat. Whew. Thank you, guys. Hey, Merry Christmas to everybody. Thank you so much for the generosity. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to hit that outro music now. Just a reminder, no show Friday. Once again, thank you very much for the generosity. Merry Christmas to all. To all a good night. Thank you to my magnanimous melon heads on Patreon, YouTube, and Buy Me a Coffee. Links down below. Should you feel so inclined, look for that interview with Jesse Day at 12 p.m. Eastern Time today on Commodity Culture. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button. Have a safe and happy holiday. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Till next time, live small and dream big.